This was a different experience for me preparing this. There was, the Lord had given me something, and I was very confident, and I was moving forward. And then yesterday afternoon, it started going in a different direction. And I was, so which one or both? And it just was got almost confusing. And I went to the meeting last night, and then just through worship, relaxed, and then discussed it with my parents. And they said, don't do anything else tonight. And then tomorrow, just start an outline. And so now I'm like, well, that doesn't give me a lot of time. Because usually I start sweating about the time I finish the last one, what I'm doing for the next one. And the Lord just showed me this and put it together surprisingly fast. So, a couple weeks ago during worship, we were worshiping, and I heard an unfamiliar voice singing. And it was a man's voice, and I'm looking at Josh, and it wasn't Josh. And I'm looking at the backup singers, and it wasn't, you could tell it wasn't them. And I just keep hearing it. And then the thought came to me, I don't know if anyone remembers Jason Upton. He had that live concert album, and when they were recording it, when they were done, a little boy gave him a picture of an angel standing behind him and said, this is the angel that sang with you. They said, oh, thank you, very nice. And then when they went to record it, they picked up the voice. And they could narrow it down and could tell it wasn't anyone. They said, well, it must have been, we recorded the angel. So then I thought, well, Lord, am I hearing an angel singing? Because I believe that could happen. I believe we can see angels. I believe they're here worshiping, and we know they're praising the Lord. And then my next question was, can I see the angel? Because other people in my family, and I know people that have seen the angel. And I heard, do you want to see the angel or do you want to see me? I said, oh, well, of course I want to see you. And just as I said that, the sweat started. Then I started getting butterflies. I get a little dizzy. And I thought, well, maybe I'm not ready. And I was not, I knew it was serious. And it was more than just the awe or the excitement. So then, but once I said, oh, I'm not ready, I back up. And then it was just back to worship. There was no conflict. There was no, did I make the right decision? It was just flowed back in. So then now afterwards, I'm asking myself, was that the fear of the Lord? Because we've discussed it before. What's the fear of the Lord? Is it just a reverence or being in awe of him? Or is there more to it to that? Psalm 111, verse 10, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So both of those, fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's where we start. It's how, it's not just a part of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. So if it's the beginning and it's the first layer, so then it's the foundation, right? So this is foundational. So then who's been to Niagara Falls? We've all seen. Now, I mean, talk about raw power. Especially on the Canadian side. You go right up on that sidewalk, you're 10 feet away of all that water just rushing over. Just the sound of that. And you almost feel it. And then what about his creation? The stars and the suns, you know, and you think about he breathed that into existence. And you talk about some of those stars that our sun will fit hundreds of them inside that. If you took like all the nuclear power in the world and blew it up at once, he held in his hand, there's a star. You know, that is, there's a lot of power. And we we see this in nature and in his creation, so how much more in the Creator? You know, how I can't even just get my head around if he just spoke that much power into existence, how much more power is he? But lots of times when we talk about the fear of God, people get uncomfortable. And so why is it the idea of fearing God make us uncomfortable? Why do we try to diminish how God himself, through his word, has told us one of the ways we're to relate to him? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and living among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty." And that was a little bit closer to what I was feeling when I'd made that decision. I was like, am I really, this is going to happen. Am I ready for this? And then, you know, how just the physical change, I knew it was serious. And it was more than just the awe of God. There was Revelation 1:17, the first part of this verse, it's John talking, and he sees the Lord. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead." You know, and this is John, the beloved disciple. And they lived and ministered together and knew each other intimately for 3 years of their lives. He rested his head on his chest. He's heard the heartbeat of God. And yet he sees him in his glory and he falls on his face like he was a dead man. It's a little bit more than just respect. So have we, in general, not specifically, but have we compromised or tried to lessen the fear of the Lord? Was this done out of arrogance or us trying to manage God so we could be more comfortable around him? What's been the result of this? We come to God with a fistful of demands, telling him, "I need this by Tuesday." You know what I mean? We've turned God into Santa Claus or the Magic 8-Ball. We bring things to him without stopping to really think. I'm walking into the presence of God that has done all of this. So through this compromise, what's this done for some of the younger kids or the next generation? Even my generation, divorce rate is no different between saved and unsaved. If not, it's a little worse in the church. There's moral compromise. We compromise what we watch, what we listen to. We've forgotten the true fear of God to the point that it doesn't comprehend the wages of sin is death. Have we brought one aspect of God out of balance so far so we can be more comfortable with him? So we don't fear him anymore? There is a balance, and this balance has a purpose. Back to Isaiah 6, 5 through 7. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had removed with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sins are atoned for." Without the fear of God, there's no repentance. Without repentance, there's no redemption. Without redemption, there's no relationship. And that has always been the plan of God, yes. Is relationship. Amen. Back to Revelation 1:17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. Then He placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no other God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let them declare and set in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are yet coming and shall come, let them show these things. You know, you want to come to me with this attitude? Where were you? Like in Job, where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you when I created the behemoth? Where were you when I set the ancient people in? You know, he's like, and he's putting us back in our place. But then verse 8, do not fear, do not be afraid. For have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. There is a God. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. So we've been given the fear of the Lord, and we're to fear him, not just awe or respect, but really fear his power and his authority and the potential of what he can do. And yet he says, come to me boldly, but not arrogantly. Yeah. We need to come to him with a purpose, right. Humbly with a purpose, to petition his heart, to declare the promises that he's given us. Yeah. He's given us power and authority. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Another thing about understanding the true, having a true fear of God and seeing his power is, well, if he's got that power, who's going to be our enemy? Right. If God is with us, right. No one can stand against us. So we can stand strong, we can stand firm, knowing that this all-powerful God that we serve and that we need to fear him, but we need to first fear him and come to that understanding so that we can then understand the other parts of him. Once we have a true understanding of the fear of God, and we realize that God calls us his friend. Now, who isn't going to stand up for their friend? When something goes wrong and we see our friends in trouble, we're going to be at their side. But not only that, he calls us his children. Now, being a parent, when you see something going wrong or someone doing something that we don't appreciate to our child, that ratchets it up a notch. I can see my grandmother, 5'3", maybe 100 pounds soaking wet, very delicate, talked very quietly, always had a smile. Everything was neat and perfect. But until you mess with her kids or his grandkids, it was unleashing this rogue grizzly bear. Just rah, and off she went to defend her young. And so if that happens with a grandmother, how much more is with all-powerful God who loves us like a child? He also calls us his bride. Who would not, being married, see something being wronged and their heart turn towards their bride. You know, we would walk through fire, we would do whatever needed to be done. So how much more God calling us his bride, is he going to stand for us? And then we have more assurance. We have comfort. So, you know, all this is brought on because we have the knowledge of the true fear of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests in comfort, untouched by troubles. That doesn't mean that troubles aren't going around all around us. But we can rest in comfort during those troubles. Yeah. It doesn't mean that when we're going through the storm, he's going to rip us out of it. He could, but he's going to be standing there steering the ship through the storm so we don't get wrecked on the rocks. Deuteronomy 6:13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul. Deuteronomy 10:12. Let all the earth... Oh, I've reversed these, sorry. That was Deuteronomy 10:12. Deuteronomy 6:13. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only and take oaths in his name. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Ecclesiastes 8:13. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. I like that. That will not go well with them. That's putting it mildly. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Isaiah 33:6. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich source of wisdom and knowledge. Fear the Lord. It is the key to the treasure. So we're given these promises, but without that key, without the true understanding of what the Lord's talking about when he says, fear me, we can't open the treasures. They're there, they're available, but we need to have the key to unlock it. Acts 9:31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Revelation 14:7. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of the water. Without the fear of the Lord, there's no repentance. Without repentance, there's no redemption. Without redemption, there's no relationship. Personal, one-on-one, face-to-face relationship. All of the directions, all the commandments, all of the rules, all of the stories, all of history is to point us back, because he loved us. So he provided redemption for us so that we could love him back. All of it, that's all it's for, is he wants us to freely love him back. And he's given us, because of our sin nature, he's given us that. He made the sacrifice so that we could love him back. We were showing the Louis Giglio videos of the stars, and he's talking about all the power at one of the first 316 meetings. And one of the teens had brought a boyfriend, and, you know, he was... But he goes, why would you want to serve a God who breathes fire? You know, he's trying to, like, you know... And I said, well, doesn't it make the fact that he can do that and he still chooses to love us all that more amazing? I mean, all that he created, all the things we're still discovering that he's created, that we're just finding out, and it's all so that we would realize there was a creator and the creator loved us. The end of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Disney version, after the kids get crowned as kings and queens and Aslan's walking away on the beach, they were saying, is he going to be back? You know, what's this and that? And this quote just really, I just always like this quote. He's not a tame lion, but he's good. And just the picture of him, the majesty of that picture of him being a lion. Now, working at the zoo, we're getting lions again, but when I first started, we had lions. And it was just that unbelievable, raise the hair on the back of your neck roar. When they would get roaring, you know, the male would start up and get louder, just shake the glass in the building. And he was past his prime, and he was still that impressive. And the strength and the power and whoever designed the exhibits did not design them for big cats because they were guillotine doors. So anything you wanted to put in, you had to unlock the door and open it. So feeding time, they know it's coming, so they're all, you know, really amped up, and they're charging and hitting the gate, and you're like, man, I got to open this gate, or I nuts? And if you're feeding meat or chunk, you know, you could put the lock in a four-inch hole so it only opened 4 inches and throw it in. But on Mondays were bone days, and the bones didn't always fit. So you had to take that free knowing that, you know, if the male got out and you were quiet, you'd probably get around him because he couldn't see anymore. But if that female got out, the first thing on her mind was killing whatever she got a hold of. And there was no doubt, there's no getting around that one. You could tell. She was all business. So, you know, you go to slide the bone in and you get stuck and you kick it, here she comes. And, you know, just that, it got your adrenaline pumping. And one time they had gotten these giant boomer balls. So we had to open the door all the way. And open the door and go to throw it in, and it kind of hung up. So you're kicking it, and she reached up and grabbed it and put her paws on either side. You can just see the nails go right, disappear right into that hard plastic. And the canines hit it, and she yanked it out and slammed the door. All right, I'm going to go take a walk. But just that, being that, you can see all the muscles on her forearms when she grabbed it. You know, that picture of God. He's not a tame lion, but he's good. Amen. And I just, it just, for me, it's just this new understanding and, just a new appreciation of God and that he is this all-powerful, awe-inspiring, terrifying God. And yet he loves me. So I don't know if this was more for me than you, but this is what the Lord gave me. I'd just like to pray. Lord, are thankful that we can still boldly come into your presence. Lord, looking at your abilities and your capabilities and just the awe-inspiring nature, Lord, that you still call us friend, children, his bride, that we're invited into your presence, and that when we come together and worship you, you come and walk amongst us. Lord, that you would just reveal yourself deeper and more intimately to each of us every day. Lord, that I will not be the same tomorrow as I am today. Lord, that you would open our understanding to your word, Lord, as you reveal yourself to us, Lord. That as we grasp more and more of you, we will be bolder, stand firmer, quicker to be obedient when you tell us to go or where to go. Lord, we thank you for you and for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.